is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Wearing rather a few sausage rolls.
They were nice. Jules has just finished her rubbishy show, the Scoff and Cough show. And one of the chefs there, John, bought him some sausage rolls he'd made. Well, to call them sausage rolls is an understatement,
John,
isn't it?
John Bingley from The Cave, newly opening in Boughton and Breen. They were, well,
weren't they gorgeous?
It wasn't just any sausage, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
He got a special pig, must have been reared on acorns.
But they had ginger and stuff in, didn't they?
Yeah.
They absolutely
bit
delicious.
Bit of wasabi going on.
Hold on, why am I talking about this on the radio?
Well, it's gorgeous, wasn't it? And then don't forget that Bobby Brown, not the singer... Bobby Brown, who's in Chislehurst at the bank. Is it the bank?
The bank house. The bank house in Chislehurst.
Glad you were there.
Yeah.
He brought in just lovely little small plates, didn't he?
Yeah.
He had those anchovies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't eat any of that.
Oh, didn't you?
No.
You just had five sausage rolls.
I didn't eat any of that.
No. Well, the anchovy would have been fine. Absolutely fine, the anchovy.
Yeah, but I didn't get near them, did I? I thought they were baby sea bass at first.
That was ridiculous. Yeah. And then the chocolate tort, which was...
I don't know, you're over my head now.
Andrea, there was a flourless chocolate tort, which was just unctuous.
And where is it now?
In her tummy, yeah. Just to make it clear for those people out there that might be listening, I didn't eat any of that.
Yeah, but what about those sausage rolls that popped down your...
The what?
Sausage rolls. Are they in your pocket then?
The what?
The sausage rolls. They were delicious, weren't they?
Anyway,
and that
moving
cheese
on.
Was really nice as
cheese.
Well, wasn't it?
Yeah. What cheese?
But then you have got a thing about cheese.
I have. I didn't see any cheese.
Was that what was it called? Some fancy name. Italian.
Babushka.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was a...
No, that's a Russian doll.
Bruschetta or bruscata.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't
bruschetta.
Have any. What was it then?
You did have some with homemade pesto drizzled on top.
Was it?
I saw that round your chops.
I didn't have any. I seriously didn't have any.
Yeah, but you were too busy with the sausage rolls, that's why. And the embarrassing thing was that I bought in biscuits, and they're just really normal biscuits. It was very embarrassing. Not one got eaten.
You bought them in.
Anyway, Andrea Starbuck, our lovely guest today, promised us beautiful, not just anything,
homemade scones. I know.
Did you say scone or scone?
Scones.
Scone.
It depends what mood I'm in, actually. Scone. It depends who I'm with. I mean, if I'm with Nick and we're talking... This is Nick, our lovely guest.
Yeah.
Nick Inge. Do I say Inge?
Inge, yes, I've heard
it
different,
sounds,
not
it sounds
worse.
Swedish.
I think it's got some German in it somewhere down the line. But
yeah, I'm seeing a bit of Volander.
But just for what it's worth, Inge is actually Anglo-Saxon.
Is it?
Yeah, it's an Anglo-Saxon ending, and you see it mostly in place names, yeah.
Like Ingotstone.
But basically...
Sometimes I eat.
You see it in places like Hollingbourne, and the Ing bit in Hollingbourne, what it actually means is the place belonging to someone called Hull, is what it means.
So this is
Paul Andrews. Why do you know this stuff?
Well, because Paul knows everything about anything Elizabethan or Anglo-Saxon.
It's where I grew up.
He can pronounce any sort of
I can't.
Strange name in, you know, Kent. Strange names have it.
I can pronounce Kentish names that you can't, like Rootham.
Yeah, Igotston.
And Item.
Yeah, Igotston.
And Westmoreland. Yeah.
What do you call Rootham? Rotham.
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 Igotham.
Yeah.
And her best one is Trotterscliff. Now, I know it is spelt Trotterscliff, but it's pronounced Trosley.
Well, it's all wrong.
Yeah.
See?
I said Trotterscliff. I've said that before.
That's very embarrassing.
Did you not? It is. I mean, to be fair, that is the worst one because it is actually spelt Trotterscliff, but it's actually pronounced Trosley.
So Nick Ing is Ing of Nick.
He's the person belonging to Nick.
Nick, yes. I've been called worse. But this sounds like some Ancestry.com sort of show now, isn't it?
Did you not know?
Well, I didn't know, to be fair.
What show did you think you were on?
I dare to think.
Well, to be fair, Nick, we are knocking on a bit.
Well, on my show, the Superior Show, Scoff and Quash, which is live every Tuesday, beginning of the month, 11 to 12 BST, I can't remember what I was going to say about it.
But she's lost the plot again.
Yeah, I have.
At her age, it happens a lot.
I know.
We were talking about being old, actually.
Well, Well, I was talking about trying to squeeze into your trousers, and then I realised that would have been 10 years ago. It was very sad. I did ask if they were elasticated waist, but they weren't.
Yeah. Anyway, look, I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor, Flexible Training Solutions for the glass and glazing industry and the wider construction sector. www.fitfortrade.co.uk provide occupational compliance and peace of mind. And well, that, thank you for supporting us.
That is exactly what I need.
What?
Wider peace construction. Of mind. Wider construction.
You do need wider construction, yeah. To get in your trousers.
I'm just grateful that, you know, tonight Andrea Starbuck is going to be lounging on a little chaise longue. She'll send us pictures of her, you know, pouring that clotted cream on her homemade scones.
Is it cream first? Hold on. This is important. Is it cream first, then jam, or jam and then cream?
Jam and cream.
Jam and cream.
Yeah. Jam and cream. Yeah. Nick?
Jam and cream.
Yeah. Jam and cream, always.
Cream and jam.
What?
Really? Yeah. It's all wrong.
Yeah.
I know what you do.
How do you get...
You put the cream on, then the jam on, then more cream, then more jam on, then a bit of cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe a kebab.
Yeah.
You're at it.
Cool. Good. Yeah. So thank you for that. Thank you to Fit for Trade for sponsoring the show. We've got two great guests to talk to, and we're going to talk to them as the show unfolds. If you want to get in contact with us, though, and if you'd like a shout-out, the easiest way to do that is to... Email me. No, it's not. The easiest way to do that is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker. But you can email us at hello@bizradio.co.uk. You could call me on Ashford 01233 220035, 01233 220035, and I might even answer the phone. We have had calls in the last few weeks from Rwanda and France.
Really?
And I missed both of them.
As you do.
It was only Bird, though.
Oh, well, what's she doing in Rwanda and France?
In Rwanda, she was working with her partner, Stephen. They were doing some stuff there, some business stuff.
Yeah.
And in France, she was riding up an Alp.
Yeah, she was. She was riding down it as well.
Yeah, well, we had a discussion about that where we all said riding down must have been better. And she went, no, it was worse riding down than it is riding up.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I suppose you've got to control the bike at about 140 mile an hour, haven't you?
Yeah.
Coming down an Alp.
Just put your heels down. I want to ask two very important questions.
Good.
I'd like to ask Nick Ing. Is it Ing or Inge?
Inge.
Inge.
Inge, yeah. We'll get there by 3 o'clock.
I have had rather a lot of sugar.
It'll be Inge, but it'll be Nike Inge.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard a lot worse, so.
What your Twitter handle is, please?
@ITrustAssure.
Okay. And Andrea, what is yours?
@10to2KentA.
Thank you very much.
That's T-E-N with number 2 and then the word 2.
Thank you very much.
Not very easy, is it?
It is.
And that's T-O-O, not 2 as in lots of, as well as.
2
as
right.
In number 2, T-W-O.
I've got you.
You didn't see what I did there.
Fabulous. What did you do?
2 right.
Very clever.
This is going to be hard work with her today, isn't it?
I know. Well, you know what it was. I was fine till I had that chocolate tort, and because I've eaten.
Ah, you've OD'd on sugar,
no,
haven't you?
My thyroid tablet. I'm supposed to take at 1 o'clock.
You've got a thyroid problem.
Yeah,
who
terrible.
Knew?
Terrible. Autoimmune.
Who knew?
It's very debilitating. Debilitating.
Well, to be fair, Jules was running. Jules was running out of afflictions, so you were there, Nick, when I've supplied her with a new one. She's now decided she's also dyspraxic. So
I never knew. All those years at school, nobody told me.
Yeah.
But I thought it was enumerate, the word. But no, I'm supposed to take my thyroid tablet because it's natural. It comes from a pig's gland, Nick.
Okay.
So it's a pig's thyroid.
Does the pig mind?
It's T3 and T4 combination. It's amazing. It's changed my life. I have to buy it privately because the NHS don't know about it because they're not very forward thinking. But I have to take it on an empty stomach at 1 p.m.
There's no chance. There's no chance of that. When are you ever likely to have an empty stomach?
Well, it's even worse because
Paul Andrews.
Because it's so natural. I have to take one at 8 a.m., mm-hmm. one at 1 p.m., and one at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
They're all meal times, and it takes 2 hours for my stomach to empty. So I'm going to be very sluggish. On this day.
Why don't you take it at 10?
I was going to say, can you change the timing?
Yeah,
because
she's still eating from breakfast, that's why.
It depends, you know.
It's not grazing.
I had a green smoothie at 7:30, but I can't take it at 5 because I was asleep at 5 a.m.
That's no way to talk about your new
You'll
husband.
You'll have to sort me out.
Okay, we'll work out a new schedule for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of Jules's afflictions.
Yeah.
Let's crack on with some of the show, shall we? Because we've got quite a few tweets and emails to read. And I'm going to start off with a tweet I've had from the lovely Deborah Turner, U-Image Consult on Twitter.
Oh, I need to speak to her. Can you ask her to come round and sort my wardrobe out?
Sort your what out?
My wardrobe.
Deb, come and sort her wardrobe out. Yeah. She said, Vanilla Web, can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? Tomorrow, there's a charity event, a Business Bunker shout-out on tomorrow. She sent this last night. For a charity event on October the 10th at Jarman Solicitors. And I happen to know they're in Sittingbourne. And it's in aid of We Are Beams, which is a charity. And it's from 4pm until 6:30pm. And she says, there is cake.
Oh, so
excellent.
We'll all go then.
So you can do one of two things. You can follow Deborah on the Twitter, U Image Consult, or Jarman Solicitors, which is Jarman's, JarmanSSouls, Jarman Souls. They're Jarman Solicitors. Or you can follow the charity themselves, We Are Beams, BEAMS. Give all of them or any of them or some of them a follow and find out about Eating Cake for Charity.
Sounds like a good way to help charity, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. What you got?
Oh, I was just going to take a photo of our guest. Okay.
Stop moving away from your mic.
The UK's very first Dan Saki Afro-Caribbean restaurant,
yeah,
this is right up my street, will open at Elwick Place in Ashford. Am I saying Elwick right?
Yeah, yeah.
In an Elizabethan way?
Yeah, yeah.
Bringing an exciting new food and drink concept to the town. In a joint announcement today, Dan Saki, Ashford Borough Council and Stanhope PLC confirmed that the company has chosen Ashford, one of the fastest growing towns in the southeast, to unveil its exciting new restaurant brand. Dan Saki aims to serve an exquisite range of Afro-Caribbean and continental cuisine, creating a destination restaurant, offering a fine dining experience in a cozy and welcoming atmosphere. Decor will feature bright African colours and amazing tribal patterns and artwork on the walls. Who wrote this? There's no website or anything. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you Google Dan Saki in Ashford, it will be there.
Yep, absolutely.
You read that beautifully. It's almost, dare I say, M&S. Oh, I'm going on there.
Unctuous. Yes. Doesn't it make you want to go?
It does.
I just want to show you my earrings, Andrea, because talking about Africa,
very, very
from,
nice.
Zambia. Can you see them?
I can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Zambia. Talking about that, it's not really, is it? But the word Dan Saki.
I'll tell you, Stu and I, my youngest son and I, we had a meal a couple of weeks ago.
Was it a stew?
No, it wasn't a stew. It was an Afro-Caribbean restaurant called Cricket in Brixton.
Ooh.
And it's a tapas-style restaurant, and it was absolutely wonderful.
Does it have stuff hopping about?
Well, the only thing I couldn't stomach, and Stu loved, was duck hearts.
Oh. How big are they?
About an inch.
Oh, poor.
And he got three of them on a skewer.
Oh. How did they cook them?
I'm not really sure because I didn't eat them, Nick.
Well,
surprise me.
I'm actually a big fan of stuffed lamb hearts.
Oh, yeah, stuffed lamb hearts. Yeah. Every day of the week, yeah.
Really? Yeah.
What do they stuff them with?
I stuff them. I don't know what they stuff them with, but I stuff them with stuffing.
Yeah, sage and onion. Yeah.
And what it does is it sort of, you slow cook it a good 4 hours.
Ooh.
on a nice, you know, casserole. And then all the stuffing sort of oozes out and melts into, ooh, the gravy. And then you've got your onions and garlic, maybe a little chilli in there as well.
Mm. Really nice. I haven't had them for years, but really nice. Yeah,
yeah. I can do
But
you
duck
some.
Hearts, no, I didn't do it for me. But everything else, everything
you
else
and Amanda
brilliant.
Can come around. I do your stuffed hearts.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Anytime.
But Cricket, the restaurant in Brixton, was absolutely stunning, apart from the duck hearts.
And where was it? Bermondsey?
Brixton.
Brixton. Something begin with B. I'll be all right when I have my thyroid tablet. I'm waiting half an hour.
Is those Zambian earrings are getting in the way?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They blocked her ears. Yeah.
It's, no, when my stomach rumbles, I take my thyroid tablet. I'll be fine. Shall I read something else? I'm in the mood.
Yeah, well, I'm going to read something because we're on a food kick.
You do it so much better.
Yeah. Hi, Paul. In short, I'm looking for a space that I can use as a prep kitchen, either a relatively cheap, small unit that I can rent on a monthly basis, preferably easy in, easy out, so no long-term commitment. Most of my events are producing canapes and drinks receptions, and if I need more substantial food, I hire a fridge van. So I don't need anything like three-phase or gas or anything like that, just a few electric sockets, some lights and some running water, and a space that will fit 3 to 4 preparation benches with a small sink and oven. Alternatively, if anyone's got a kitchen available to hire on a daily basis, please let me know. And that's Sam, and you can follow Sam on the Twitter at Bennett Friends, BennettFriends. Bennett Friends. Give Sam a follow if you can help him. He's a growing business and he's trying to find some space.
Well, I think I can help him on that. Where's he based? Do you know?
Well, he's based on the Marsh.
Okay.
At the moment, but I'm not sure where he needs the space.
Okay, well, give him my number.
Okay, we'll do.
Don't tweet it. To the whole world.
Okay.
Talking of food and hospitality, we have the... Oh, this is from my friend Trevor Bond. He sent me this.
Good day, Trev. Yeah. Good day, Trev. How are you doing?
He's obviously Australian.
Oh, sorry. I thought he was Welsh.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's Welsh.
So he sent this. Yeah, he sent this to me as well. How lovely. Holiday Inn Express, Canterbury. They have had, you know, I'm, what am I now? Dyspraxic. I think it's 800,000 upgrade. Could be anything.
Yeah.
The Holiday Inn Express has just completed the refurbishment of all of its 89 guest rooms in the hotel at the cost of 800 with a comma and three more zeros.
She's playing to it now. She's just playing to it now.
And Mr. K. Rajamenon, the owner... Rajamenon said that the Holiday Inn Express in Canterbury was very popular, being one of the largest hotels in Canterbury, and therefore it's essential that the guest rooms are modern and up-to-date, with all the facilities such as sockets to charge your mobile devices. All the work was undertaken by using a local work team, and to their credit, it was completed in 12 weeks. Wow, that's incredible. On a budget with no inconvenience to our hotel guests. The 89-room Holiday Inn Express Canterbury plays an important role in local tourism with its 89 guest rooms, two meeting rooms, large dining area and lounge bar for residents. It also has a large private car park for tourist cars and coaches. The hotel welcomes local visitors who wish to drop in for a meal in the evening, afternoon tea, maybe a scone, we wouldn't know, or a quiet drink. The Wi-Fi is free to use and bookings can be made on 01227, that's the local Canterbury code, 865000. And that's from the lovely Trevor Bond, who is, you can email him if you want to find out more, Trevor with a V at leafhotels.co.uk. He came on my show years ago at Romney Marsh, didn't he?
Yeah, he's been on the bunker a couple of times as well. Yeah. He's a good lad, he's Trevor.
Little Antipodean.
Yeah. He's a little possum.
Yeah.
We've had a tweet from Michael Parks Surveyors, and they say, hello, Vanilla Webb. We hope you've had a wonderful day today, and we're enjoying listening to the Business Bunker show. And that's Michael Parks Surveyors. They're commercial property specialists for London and the South East. Give them a follow on the Twitter, MPSL.
And the lovely Alison Palmer has said, jam, then cream. We all know that. And have a good show, Vanilla Webb, and Jules soon.
Isn't that what I said?
No, you said cream.
Cream. Yeah, cream and jam, obviously.
And then you said jam and cream and a bit of cheese on top with a kebab.
Ah, right, okay. Diamond Circle Weddings have tweeted and they say, hello from France to Paul and everybody. Looking forward to you and the crew on the Business Bunker seeing us on our way home on the last leg of our road trip. So they're listening in the car on the way back from France. So Paul and Polly, thank you for that. I hope you're having a safe trip.
Paul and Polly.
Yeah.
And Fruitworks Co-working, have you read that out?
No.
Or shall I? Heya, they say. That's very hip, isn't it? Heya.
Heya.
Heya. Shout out, please, Jules and him. B-Bunker, using the hashtag, very good. We have expanded. Lots of expanding going on, have you noticed on the show? Now extra small office units. Oh, that's good. Mm. Extra small office. And fixed desks available at Fruitworks Co-working in Canterbury. You can find out more on kentbusinessradio.co.uk with a little / co-working-rig.
Right.
What was it?
Right. -right.
Please tell me what a fixed desk means. Does that mean you can't...
In a hot desk, you rent whatever desk is available. So you turn up. If there's a free desk, you use it. If you want to keep your own desk with your own things on it...
Nice then, one by the window.
Then you rent a fixed desk.
Not near the toilet.
And the way that came about is people would come and use the hot desk in, and then they'd get there at like 11 o'clock and someone was sat there and they'd go, that's my desk, I always sit there.
So well, we're like that, aren't we? I get very uppity. If I go to a restaurant and, you know, somebody's on my table.
Mm. So we offered fixed desks as well, so you can have a reserved desk with your own stuff on it. There's hot desks available, and now we've got office units as as well. We've got six
so office describe units. An office unit to me.
Well, they're offices like this. They're just rooms. Wow. Lockable rooms.
In Fruitworks?
In Fruitworks. But we've acquired the building next door, which is how we've done it. Yeah.
And that was the one that's behind Fruitworks, you told me.
Yeah. So we've acquired that building now. So we've spread along the road, and that has got 5/6 different size offices in it. There's the smallest one will suit 3 people, and the biggest one will suit 6 people.
Fabulous. Yeah. Brilliant.
I have actually used the space down there. Is it the same vibe inside? Because it's really nice space.
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously, the building we've acquired next door is offices rather than open plan space, okay. But it's all part of the same warehouse space. It's all part of the same building. And it's not open yet. It opens in 3 weeks because we're refurbishing it. We're putting new carpets and stuff and everything down. Yeah.
And you've got demand for that, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, with hot desking space, the churn rate is really high because people move on. Mm. So we've only ever had 2 offices. And what happens is people start as one-person businesses. They grow, have a fixed desk for 2 of them, and then 3 of them go, oh, we want our own office. So we've always lost lots of people because we had no one to move into them. Mm. So the churn rate's always been high. But we're lucky in Canterbury because we've always had a waiting list and there's demand. There is demand for it, and we will fill it. It's just how quickly we do it.
Have you read out T. Botti's one?
I haven't, but we need to play a record. So,
all right.
So I've got some cheesy tunage. Yeah,
cheese and kebab.
No, it's just cheesy tunage. Okay. Yeah, every week I try and pick a record that has some incredibly tenuous link to one of the guests, and of course this one was easy because it's not even true in this case.
Well, give us a clue then. Oh, 9 to 5. Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Very clever. I always have to guess the intro.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind. Watch him shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. You're in the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
I'm in my zone. Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. Bit of 9 to 5 Dolly Parton there.
Quite a lot of kebab going on in the studio.
Yeah, it will become clear in the second part of the show why I played that. So welcome back. We've got loads of tweets. We've got a couple of good guests to talk to. And we've got loads of emails and bits and pieces to read out. I want to tell you about an award winner. And that's the BJF Group. And BJF Group are now multiple award winners, having taken home Best Construction Contractor at the Southeast Construction Awards last Thursday. So huge congratulations to them. Very well done. That's BJF Group, BJF LTD on the Twitter. Give them a follow and say well done.
Well done. I had a tweet from T. Botty.
TD Botty.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Who I've lost now. Oh, hello to Salon 123 in Herne Bay. They say we've got lovely vegan hair colours available at Salon 123. It's in the High Street. They use Colour Herb UK and some fabulous new fashion colours from Goldwell. And I'll have to find T Botty's. I've lost it now.
He's probably talking about his events on the Marsh, which we have got an email about as well. So
he says, have a good one. Mm. Shout out, please, for second birthday Marsh networking tomorrow at 10 a.m. New Romney. Great networking with cake. Cake is getting a lot of mentions today. Mm. And you can book. And there's a little link here which says Marsh, M-A-R-S-H, network.co.uk. Also, Cars from Kent have tweeted in, and that's carsfromkent.com. He says, hi, Jewel Serkin and Vanilla Webb, mentions you.
Secondly, oh, that's nice of them.
Secondly, shout out, please, buy or sell your car locally on carsfromkent.com. Cheers from the lovely Mitch.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Do you know what? I think we'll speak to our first guest.
Well,
what do you reckon?
If he's stopped eating the the kebab.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Well, do you want to introduce him?
I mean, how cool is that?
Do you want to introduce him and get his name right?
Oh, no, that's just not fair. But it's just, as you said, you were going to talk to me, he popped another chip in his mouth.
I mean, I know.
They're very,
might as well do,
they're
awesome.
Very laissez-faire, aren't they, these names? So this is the lovely Nick
Inge.
Inge.
Yeah.
A little bit of Swedish, I think, going on there.
Swedish.
I think it's a little Scandi noir going on, a bit of Volanda. He is the MD director of iTrust Assurance. You can, they're in London, N1. That's very interesting. You can find them on the letter I, Trust Assurance. Make sure it's Assurance. And we were having a little chat in the green room, and you know what? He's got an amazing... He's going to write a book, I'm sure.
I'm sure he is.
He has.
But first off, the last time we spoke to Nick was some time ago in line with your son, Louis, mm-hmm. who had launched the Bubble Waffle Company.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So he launched the Bubble Waffle Company 3 years ago.
Mm. Well, what age? He was a teenager,
13,
wasn't he?
13, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, now he's doing A-levels, or he's all getting all dull, right. Teenager-y and stuff, so...
And how's the Bubble Waffle Company going?
Really good, yeah. So we started out doing farmers markets, quickly realised that although he was selling stuff, it was mainly the children that were liking the Bubble Waffles. Mm. So the farmers markets sort of between 10 and 12. Mm. So we then pivoted quickly, as we've learned the expression in business, I think it is. Yeah. And then started doing weddings, fairs, festivals, parties. And he's got bookings in through to July next year.
Wow.
So no, he's doing really well. And then on the back of that, there's a lady who supplies his free-range eggs. on trays for the waffles, and then he decided that he was going to start selling those on the side as well. So now we have 80 boxes of eggs turned up to our house every week,
wow.
plus apple juice from Pembury and honey from Rochester.
Wow.
So
wow.
And he supplies the League of Friends shop at Mason Hospital. He's doing really well, really good. So
such an entrepreneur.
Yeah, so he's part of the Kent Foundation, which help him, and we've got a mentor that we were meant to be meeting on Thursday night, but unfortunately he's got a football game in Whitstable, of all places,
right. Jules,
on Thursday night, so we've had to put that back a bit. But
so who's got the football match, the mentor or your son?
No, my son. Yeah, Mike. No, Mike. Well, he might be playing football, but yeah. But he's doing really well, yeah. So on the back of that, he's inspired us, me and my wife.
I love this story, yeah.
Yeah, see, I said to Louis, I said, you've got a book in you, mate. It's going to be called Not About the Waffles.
Yeah.
It's about getting off your backside, doing it,
yeah.
working it out as you go along. I know he hasn't got a mortgage or, you know, family and all that sort of stuff, yeah. but he's got the time and we've got the interest as well to help him along. So, he's doing really well and he really enjoys it. So he's got his targets, he's got his sort of his boards where he's got his figure above his bed in terms of what he wants to hit next in terms of turnover and money, all that
me
sort
too.
Of stuff.
I got it.
Oh, yeah.
Above my bed, yeah. My targets. My goals.
Your goals, right, okay.
Yeah. But no, nothing to do with business.
Can you still hit them at your age?
Thank you. Anyway.
Sorry, Paul. Down the path here. But
But he inspired you, and that's interesting.
Yeah, so we've got some friends. So he's played a lot of football as he's grown up, and we've got friends in business in Kent. And he always said to me, Dad, how do I become rich? Because I said to him, well, don't work what I'm doing. I was in the police at the time. Don't join the public service unless you become top of it.
Yeah.
And we've got plenty of friends in business around here. So there's a fellow, really nice fellow, really good friend of ours called John Roberts, who owns a company called Genco. They're a facilities management company based in Parkwood. And we met him in the pub, funny place to go, after football training one night. And I said to him, John, I said, can you give us three tips about business? Because we hadn't sold anything ever. And this was before we sold the first waffle.
Right.
And he said, people buy people. It's all about the money.
Yep.
And social media. And we stuck to those three principles. They haven't gone far wrong. So Louis's learned over the last 3 years about when people... So I said to him, so when you've got... You're cooking a waffle because they're all cooked fresh. I said, you've got 2.5 minutes to engage someone you've never met before in conversation, and because you can't just stand there and look at them. Mm-hmm. So his confidence has grown in terms of, you know, shaking their hand, how are you, what do you do, are you having a nice day, and all that. And those are the skills he's learned, and we've learned together in terms of giving really good value, being really friendly, people by people, and it's sort of built from there. So he's been on the BBC Southeast News a couple of years ago, I think it was, and he's got his third anniversary coming up in the Shamrock Indian restaurant in Maidstone soon.
Right. Okay.
So,
what is the bubble factor of it all?
The
is
bubble
it showmanship?
Factor,
is
he... Look, shall I show you on the Instagram? You can't see this on the radio, but if you follow the Bubble Waffle Company on Instagram, you'll see what it's all about. So basically, me and my wife went travelling years and years ago when I was a lot younger, and I was in Hong Kong. I was a cocktail barman in Hong Kong. My wife came in with her friends, and she was... There you go, Andrew.
You knew each other?
Yeah, yeah. So I was a cocktail barman, and she was a waitress. We got together.
I've heard that song.
There's a song about that.
I know. Do you want to sing it for us?
Yeah.
Don't you want me, baby?
Yeah. If only I'd have known that, Nick, I would have had that as my cheesy tunage.
That's for next week's show.
Yeah.
So, so we met, and what happened was we took the children back to, it was a bit of a pilgrimage back to Hong Kong 3 years ago. And Louis said, that's what I want to do, Dad, sell waffles. And he's a bit of a foodie in terms of his street foodie type stuff. And I said, well, life's too short. We've had a few friends that sadly aren't around anymore who I think of virtually every day because it does inspire us because, you know, life's too short. So he bought a second-hand machine off Gumtree, which is a bubble waffle maker. It's an Asian waffle, effectively. Same ingredients, different shape.
Yeah.
Bought it off Gumtree, and we got all the requisite certificates, insurance, hygiene, and all that sort of stuff, and off we went.
So what's he got, a van that he takes around?
No, I'm the van. So,
he's
got a trailer now. So he's got a great big... Yeah, have you seen it? You haven't seen it, have you?
No.
So sorry, this isn't great TV, is it? But look, he's got a big gazebo now, which we cart around.
I do love a gazebo.
You can't beat a nice gazebo, can you? So he's got a nice... There you are. Look, see that?
Wow.
So that's his big gazebo.
It's made me come off my mic now.
Yeah, so he's got four machines, and he has his mates helping him out at whatever event he goes to and pays them, you know, handsomely, I'd suggest. But, yeah, for a 16-year-old, he's making good money, and he enjoys it. And when his friends are working or trying to find jobs washing up in pubs, which is great, he's going, I wouldn't get out of bed for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not in a nasty way, but I can make my own way now. He knows how to make money. And for me, that's what's inspired certainly me and my wife to go and do our own things as well. So
you're preaching to the converted.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think
that we inspire our young people enough about the world of business. Yeah. School is all about GCSEs and going to university.
Yeah.
Boring, dull. The world of business, and what I loved about what you said about Louis is it taught him how to engage with people, mm-hmm. and that is so important. While you're standing there cooking them a waffle, you can do one or two things. You can ignore them or you can engage them.
Yeah.
And he's chosen to engage them. And as a young man, that is a fantastic thing to do because it builds customer loyalty, it builds interest, you get to meet people. And I think it's one of the skills that we lack by just focusing on the wrong thing.
Yeah, I've learned loads over the last 3 years. We've met some fantastic people. We've been all over Kent and the South East meeting lovely people who were willing to give us their advice. I mean, Pat Gallagher came up to the stall a few weeks ago because we did a, of all things, it was there's a school in Rootham, Flexi Dyslexia, and they basically, they specialise in helping out children with dyslexia. And he turned up the stall and gave us some great advice. There's so much free advice out there. It's a bit like coming on here today. So many free marketing opportunities, and that's what I've learned, and about networking and all the basic stuff for my business, which we'll come on to in a minute, hopefully. But you know, not about the Bubble Waffle Company, I do. But you know what I mean? That's what we've learned, some fantastic people, really, really lovely, lovely people who are willing to look. I'm not even to know it's not about the money because it is, but they're really lovely people who are willing to help you. Seriously, it's really, and it's and at my stage in life, I'm 50 now. I've been in the police for 25 years, and you know, I left a few months ago. But you can get very insular in the police. I certainly didn't, because I can talk for England. But you can get very insular when you come out into the business community. The first ever farmers market we did at Offham, he's a local councillor, Richard. I can't remember his surname now, and I apologise if he's listening. But we drove up in the car park. It was a windy, horrible November day, blowing a hoolie. And he said, right, get your story out there, Louis. Get on social media. Get your story out, because people like following that story. And you said it earlier.
Yeah.
Right, and that's all we've done. And that's what I'm doing with iTrust. And, you know, because people like that story. In fact, I was listening to the radio coming down. They were talking about a story about something else. But people like following the journey, don't they?
Absolutely.
And they buy into the person. And, you know, crikey, you're Mr. Businessman. I'm just starting out. But it's, well, that's what I'm finding with Louis. Anyway,
no, you're absolutely right. And what you say about stories is very, very true. It is all about the stories. People like a backstory. They like to hear stories, and you know, it's a fundamental part of the social fabric of human tribes that we've always gathered around storytelling, and that's why human interaction is so important. And just on a complete side note, because I was watching another program about it the other night, about everybody wetting their pants over artificial intelligence and robotics, and we're all going to die because nobody's ever going to do a job again, da 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 da. It will never happen, and it will never happen for the simple reason that human beings like to interact with other human beings. And you can make an animated thing as human as you like, but it will never be another human being, not on any stretch of the imagination. The opportunities going forward with new technology are in the human side of it.
Yeah, well, this is where my business is going, and I'll go into that in a minute, but what I'm finding is, and I've got a presentation to give in London next week, and my friends who are either still in the police or I'm still in touch with, they're laughing at me, going, why? And this basically is a financial mentoring company. They're fantastic. They've been really good to me. Erlen Gomez, and there's a fella called Matt Fotherby who owns a financial training company called Meta Financial Education. Been really, really supportive. But they want to know my story because I'm saying, what, you're paying me to tell my story? Why? Because hopefully people can learn from it, right?
Yeah.
And when you come out of my old world, which is covert policing, it's very insular, and you have all that sort of tradecraft and techniques and everything. You come out and people go, oh, that's really interesting. I'm going, yeah, it's only a job. Mm-hmm. But people go in, do you know what? It's a bit like, you know, someone said, like a
but
Richard
Branson. But we don't
Branson's
know thought, covert policing.
I know, no one does. But in my world, that's what I did
covert
for nearly 20 years. Yeah, of course, exactly. Yeah. But people like to know the story. And it's going back to Louis and me. And, you know, that's what they're buying into, isn't it? Like an autobiography.
Absolutely.
The same sort of thing. Tell us about yourself. You know, not in a big-headed way.
No, it's always the same. If you actually go to a workshop and you listen to someone talking about their business journey, as long as they're honest, what people don't like is people, you know, that people come along and go, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. I spotted a gap in the market and we made £1 million. Nobody did that. Not a single soul did that. I don't care what Richard Branson says. It didn't do that. Yeah. That's not how businesses work. What people respond to is the real life stories of someone going, do you know what? I was at a loose end. I couldn't find a job. So I thought I'd start working for myself. And then I did this and that didn't work. And then I did that and somebody bought four of them. So we bought some more. You know, and there's lots of things about that. And those stories are what inspire people because they're real, they're human, and they they make it doable for other human beings.
Because people can relate to it, can't
exactly.
they? That could be me.
Yeah,
why not? And someone starts somewhere, let's give it a go. And that's what I've always said about life. And this is when I've been in the police, outside the police. Do you know what? Life's too short. Give it a crack. Because what's the worst going to happen? No one's going to die, are they? You just go and get a job. I just think,
exactly.
When people do that as well, you hear what you need to hear sometimes. I hate being told what I think people think I should be listening to, Just tell the story and then I'll take from it what I want
out of it, and what suits you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nick, let's talk about I Trust Ashore now.
Yeah, so I formed the company 2 years ago, a dormant company. It was sitting in the background because what I've learned, I will relate the story back to the Bubble Waffle Company, but what we found with that is... when you started getting more successful, someone then decided, oh, there's some money in this. And when you look at, say, Camden Market, I think there's four different bubble waffle outlets at Camden Market alone now.
Right, okay.
So people started working out that you could make some money out of this sort of stuff.
Are they savoury as well?
You can make them savoury. Yeah, we've done it with bacon and maple syrup as the adult sort of flavour.
Oh,
the children love the sweet stuff. But we've done a breakfast club at a company called Q Electrical in Maidstone, and then we're serving them with sausages and brown sauce in the morning for the fellas coming in at 7 o'clock in the morning. So you can serve it 24 hours a day if you want, I'm sure. But I'll testify to that as well, because I had a few.
Research, I'm sure.
Research, yeah. So what we found was someone then suddenly decided to form a limited company called Bubble Waffle Company. And I said, Louis, you're 13, mate, but this is real now. People are going, if you want that, you're going to have to buy it off me now.
Yeah.
And the same with the logo. We've had issues with the trademark and all these sort of things.
Yeah.
So I thought, do you know what? When I start my own business, I've got the time. I'm going to make sure everything, all the back-end stuff is like the trade. So they've got the logo designed by a friend of mine. I got it trademarked, which cost me a few quid, but went through Hiddleston Trademarks at Sevenoaks.
Yep.
They're really lovely people. Mark Hiddleston, really good to me.
Yep.
Got it all done. So when it came to, because it takes time, obviously, you can't just magic it overnight.
Mm.
And I decided to start my Twitter following. So that's up to now 3,700, nearly 3,800. For me, having started trading on the 15th of July, that's a lot. So it looks like an established business. And Instagram has got 1,300 posts, I think it is now. And it's habit has formed. I do Twitter all the time because for me, it's free. Instagram's free. Why not? One of my friends, he's probably listening. He is at work. I won't name him. But he said to me last week, he said, all I see is I Trust everywhere. I went, great. That's what you meant to be seeing, mate.
Yeah.
Not mate. I won't say his name either. But we read a few books, Louis and I, and one's by a bloke called Grant Cardone.
Right, okay.
Yeah, he was American, full-on salesperson, and he said, someone said to him, you're tweeting too much, Grant, and he went, do you know what, I'm going to tweet even more now, because you're still talking about it, and I'll just do it all the time, and people going, why not, it's free, and you know Pete Knowles, Pete, Louis was at Crystal Palace on the books years ago, and he said to me, we were going up there, because our sons were trialing and stuff at the time, and we were driving back, he said, Nick, you said, you're more determined than you realise. And I went, do you know what? Probably as a 50-year-old male, that's all coming through now. Because I said to Louis, when we sat in the driveway before we served the first waffle at Offham, I said, this won't fail, mate. This won't fail. It's not will it happen, when it happens, mate. And it's the same with the Art Trust. I've had a few people say to me, well, when it succeeds, what do you mean when it succeeds? I'm so, it's not arrogance, but I know it'll work its way through, give it a year or two, and it'll settle down like the waffles did. And what happened was a few weeks ago, at the beginning of the year, a fellow that owns Soccer Elite, which is a private football academy in Maidstone, a bloke called Lee Spiller, top man, and he gave me some advice. And I was going around speaking to a load of different business people about logos and branding and everything else, right? And he bought what I was selling him, even though I wasn't selling it to him at the time in terms of confidential reporting lines, right? And I thought, okay, well, we're going to go down the confidential reporting line, selling that to business and stuff, which we still do. However, people are interested in the stories and the teaching side of it now. Well, tell us about your story and how I can relate that to my business, give it value, and what my, say for example, management team can take out of that in terms of trust and engendering a culture which means people that feel safe to speak up. So last Friday, I had this fantastic meeting with the CEO of the Port of Dover, a fellow called Doug Bannister, who someone put me in touch with. He gave me two and a quarter hour of his time. He's got Brexit coming up in 4 weeks' time.
And he
gave me two and a quarter, and I spoke to him about a month before that, and he was just about to go on holiday. He said, Nick, we'll get together, because he wants to, obviously improve everything like everyone does at the top of a business. And we had really, really lovely chat, and he emailed me afterwards, and hopefully I'll be doing some work in terms of a workshop and some presentations to his his senior managers in the next month or two. But there's just some really lovely people out there. But the business was, I thought I was going to be flogging, you know, confidential reporting lines. Now it's the teaching side of it.
Okay.
I've got the, sorry.
Well, let's concentrate on that, because let's get a feel for exactly what it is. I Trust Assure, as I understand it, it's around whistleblowing.
Yeah, whistleblowing. Well, whistleblowing's got a dirty term.
Yeah, right?
Dirty
connotation. What is whistleblowing?
Well, whistleblowing is the process by which people speak up and tell people what's going on. So they can do it overtly, as in people know who they are. They can do it covertly, as in down the anonymous line, which most people do, because people don't want to be seen to be a snitch grass. But spinning it, if you speak up, or if a business has a culture where people can speak up and feel free they can speak up, the business has less staff turnover, less absenteeism, a happier workplace, because people free, they feel they can trust the management to be able to not say every single thing that they want to get off their chest, but there's not this culture then where people think they're going to get some sort of retaliation, or they're scared to speak up, or they're going to get bullied, or they're going to be seen to be a snitch or a grass. You spin it the other way and go, do you know what, you've got this healthy culture, which is actually productive for people, because the business actually gets ideas out of it, and people actually want to work for a business, rather than at the top, the culture's going, if you do this, we're going to get rid of you, because or you're going to leave, we're going to make it so uncomfortable for you to stay here, you're going to go. Because I look out for whistleblowing stories all the time now, and I retweet. I mean, look at Trump at the minute. Yeah. Look at the grief he's had. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's right or wrong or whatever. I'm not going down that sort of line. But someone somewhere has blown the whistle on him and gone, right, this is what you're doing is wrong, right? And now he's playing catch up, trying to defend himself in the public eye, right? And you see that on a smaller level in business. If look at Mo Salah's trainer today. That's just been on the news. I was watching that in the green room coming up, right? Yeah. Mo Salah's trainer has been banned for 4 years, right? He's been kicked out of the World Athletics Championships, right? When you look to the BBC news feed, which I was before you came in, Jules, there's a quote from someone who's saying, thank you for the courage that people have had speaking up about the mispractice in terms of the doping allegedly that was going on, right? Because there's loads of people who know exactly what's going on, but half of them haven't got the wherefore all of the bottle to do it sometimes. Yeah. I'm not saying I am, but so, and this goes back to my past in terms of informant handling and recruitment, you see, and how difficult, I get it, it's really, really hard. But if people can be encouraged to speak up, it does change the culture.
It's interesting as well, isn't it? Because it isn't just about dodgy stuff.
No.
It's about being prepared to hear what you don't want to hear.
Of course.
Many years ago, I worked for an American bank, a commercial bank, and they employed some very expensive management consultants to do a thing called EARS, which is Employee Attitude Reaction Survey, okay? And there was a huge thing about it, and it said these people will be coming round selectively interviewing people. We want to know what you think about working for the bank, what you think about the management, any ideas you've got for where the business is going, da-da-da-da-da. And it's all completely anonymous, okay? So they spent 3 months doing this, and I did my bit, and they produced the report. 2 days later, I get a phone call. Can you come and see the board, please? I go to the board, and they go, we're not happy with what you told. And hold on a minute. It was anonymous. Mm. And they went, yeah, but you're the only vice president on the 13th floor, so it must have been you. Anyway, we're not happy with what you said, and we want you to retract it.
I know.
No.
But then, Paul, would you have done it again?
No.
Of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't, because you don't believe the system.
Exactly.
Exactly. So one of the services we offer is outsourcing for the grievance procedure, for example. So say, for example, in an organisation, if you want to challenge something, you go probably to your line manager in the first instance. If they're the problem, you wouldn't go to them. Yeah. Or if you did, nothing's going to happen, is it? I wouldn't have thought. So if there's an issue within an organisation, they outsource it to us. We go and speak to the whistleblower or the person brave enough to speak up. We can sanitise what they want to say, because it doesn't then come back to them, because it's, you know, we agree the form of wording, put into the company, this is the issue, it doesn't come back to them, but they feel then safe to speak up. And the organisation's paid us, they've invested in their workforce to be able to do that safely.
And it's a two-way street isn't it? You know, because a lot of people can also get the wrong end of the stick.
Of course.
Yeah, they can go, I'm not happy with this, without necessarily understanding where the company is going.
Yeah.
And the problem is, so many of these things become confrontational rather than resolvable.
Exactly. And half of them are resolvable.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to end up with a fist fight or a bun fight or anything, does it? It's just like, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And the management can say, well, look, this is the reasons why we've done this. Yeah. And it and have a bit of explanation behind it.
So,
you know?
Nick, do you work with HR as well?
I'm trying to, yeah.
Or how closely?
I will do. Well, look, I've only been going 2 months, so not even that. So yeah, that's the plan. Mm. So they outsource it. Because a lot of the time, so I met a fella a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to do a presentation, hopefully, for them in November. RSM, they're one of the big accountants companies. And they've got a CPD event on, I think it's the 8th of November in Milton Keynes, which I'm hopefully speaking to. They've invited me to do it. But they have they run confidential reporting lines for large organisations. But what happens is the majority of the calls that are left on, or the messages that are left on the voicemails are a grievance. They're not fraud, they're grievance issues. Yep. But when they're given back to the HR departments, the HR departments aren't specialist whistleblower debriefers. They do that as part of their you know, it's an add-on, effectively. And I'm saying to look, we can possibly then if they want further information, we go and speak to the whistleblower if we know who it is.
Yeah.
We take the time. They pay us for the time, obviously. The speciality, because that's what I've done for nearly 20 years, debriefing people in the criminal world, give them a report, and this is what it's about. So they save time and money. They get a better report, and the whistleblower feels... Because whistleblowers only do it generally once or twice. They won't just to get it off the test, because a lot of it is mental health. They store it all up. They can't sleep. It chews them up, turns them up. You know, it's horrible. Yeah. And then they go, do you know what? Have it. I'll offload. And I got a call from a fellow a few weeks ago who just wanted to... talk to me. I'm not a counselling service, but he said 45 minutes later, after listening to the story, and it was a terrible story, he said, a lot of people feel sick when they speak to me, but this bloke said, I feel sick telling you this story because I just want to, you know, just get it off my chest. It's horrible. Yeah. And it does it, and mental health's massive across, you know, every sort of facet of industry and sport, isn't it, at the minute? So
I think you hit the nail on the head there as well. If as a human being, you see something, you think, this isn't right. Yeah. This just isn't right. And you don't know what to do about it. It's just all bottled up in you. It must become obsessive. You must, because you can't ignore it. You can't go, do you know what? I'll pretend I never saw that. You can't blank it out.
Of course you
can. And if you can't go anywhere with it, it produces exactly what you're saying.
Absolutely.
You know, this stress and
sleepless, just thinking about it.
Yeah, just stuck in a loop of going, I don't like what I've seen, but I don't know what to do about it. I don't like what I've seen. What do I do about it?
I know. Well, one of the first things, when I do a presentation, one of the first things I say to people, and I did it in the police as well, is like, right, put your hand up in this room if you're a grass, if you've ever snitched anyone else up, and very few people put their hand up. Now and again, you might get the one or two, because people don't like to be seen a grass.
Yeah.
But I said, okay, with all due respect, you're lying.
Yeah.
Because you've all seen stuff in the past where your child, you know, if you've got siblings and you want to report stuff to your parents, you've all done it for different reasons. But as you get older, it becomes harder because you think, I'm going to lose my career.
I love the way it says report stuff to your parents.
Mum, we did they pull my hair, Mum.
Well,
yeah.
We have got an official reporting channel. Yeah, we've got a confidential hotline in our house now. Yeah. But, you know, but that's what happens, isn't it? And I see, but you don't want to lose your career, you don't want to lose your livelihood and all those, and you don't want to be labelled as a grass.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So people just look the other way half the time. And we all sit here. And we go, do you know what? I've got secrets. You've got secrets, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen a lot in private schools. I've done a lot of PR for big private schools, and I've seen a lot of almost bullying and the hierarchy and stuff that goes on in those kind of institutions.
Yeah. And it's not just I'm not just talking at the shop floor. This is middle managers as well who've got maybe possibly more to lose in terms of income and career.
Yeah.
But where do they go?
Yeah,
what do they do? And it's all you are saying to the shop floor staff, you've got to speak up. Hold on a minute. Yeah, are you going to do the same against another manager that we know's doing something wrong or whatever? You know, it's
you're absolutely right about that. In fact, quite a lot of shop floor staff will just give it because they don't care.
Yeah.
Have it. Yeah, have it. Or, you know, there's some union rep. Or, you know, if you don't like it, one out, all out, mate. Yeah. Middle management are the problem because they tend to have a better insight anyway into what the company's doing and what they're up to. And that can be very... distressing.
Of course. What do they do? They either leave or stay silent or become that internal disruptor or whatever.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons, and when I spoke to this Doug Bannister, lovely fella, like I say, CEO of Port of Dover on Friday, this is why I put trust in the title, because trust is a massive word across life, right? I'm trusting you, Andrew, that you haven't poisoned the food. I'm not going to fall through the floor. The building's not going to catch. You know, the trust is massive, isn't it?
Yeah.
And between a management team, for example, each line manager's got to trust each other in different departments, haven't they? Got to trust the top of the organisation are going to do the right thing. They've got to trust their staff to be able to speak up, and that's half the problem. But if you can build the trust within the organisation, that's a whole different debate, I'm sure, in terms of how we do that. But
and it all depends how robust you are, but it doesn't matter how robust you are. You can. I worked for an organisation 1,000 years ago, and my boss called me in one day, and he said, "There's a guy worked for me, who was coming up to retirement, and he said to me, I want you to find a reason to sack him before he's retired. Why?
he's retired in like 4 months. He said, yeah, but we can't afford all the big retirement parties anymore and the retirement thing. He's been here 50 years. Sack him. I mean, piss off.
Disgusting.
I went, no. And he went, well, I'm telling you. So I went straight to HR and I went, I've been told to do this and I'm not doing it. Yeah. And they called my senior manager in and he just denied it point blank and exactly. never said anything of the kind. Yeah. I'm like, yes, you did. And it just ended up around. There was no way out of that.
Of course,
yeah,
no, he just lied against him. Yeah, yeah. So he's black and white. Yeah.
But that was the question I was going to ask. Where's the assurance in this? I mean, they come and they spill their, you know.
Yeah, the assurance is we keep them safe. So right. they can do it, and we assure them that it's not going to come back on them.
Yeah.
Right. So, say for example,
so it's anonymous.
Yeah. So you're anonymous. So right. So yeah. going back to my policing career, right? So yeah. So what happened was we used to recruit informants, right? And I never lost an informant.
God, this is a film.
Yeah.
Well, read the book. One of the books, right? Yeah. So you used to say to them, right? You can trust me because we've never lost anyone. I can keep you safe, yeah. right? You trust me. Trust is massive. And I was a supervisor in the police. So there's people. You're selling your trust in that person. They could have the biggest bit of information about that criminal event. If they don't trust you, you could be the best trained informant handler in the world. If they don't trust you because you don't make eye contact, shake their hands properly, whatever it might be, or engage them in conversation, you're not going to get that information. Trust is massive, and that's why I put it in the title of the business. So.
Cool. We've got to join the newsroom now. We're going to talk to Nick some further on after we've joined the newsroom. For the moment, Nick, thank you for that. If people want to find out more about iTrust Assurance, how can they do that?
Look at the website, www.itrustassurance.co.uk, Twitter feed, iTrust Assure, and Instagram. You'll find me on there. It's easy.
Fantastic. Nick, we'll talk to you some more after the break, but we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom now. Then when we come back, we're going to talk to Nick a little bit more, and then we're going to talk to Andrea. So here we go.
On the hour, Channel Radio news update.
The government is going to set out new plans for the Irish border. Boris Johnson has denied there will be new border posts there. Professor in Brexit Studies Alex de Ruyter